You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
The always bankable Bidvest is something of a bellwether for the South African economy. In announcing a 23% decline in normalized HEPS to 10 rand 28, within its very tight guidance range and no final dividend, along with retrenchments, I think it tells you all you need to know about the struggling South African economy at the moment. But even in the most extraordinarily difficult circumstances, management managed to increase cash generation by 38% to 9.2 billion rand from operations. Free cash flow, that was up to 3.7 billion, an increase of 1.4 billion. Exceptional asset management during challenging times resulted in a normalized 23% ROFE. Joffy's ROFE, as it became famously known. Now Lindsay's ROFE, and he's handing over, CEO Lindsay Ralph, to Mpumi Mdlala. Welcome to the show. And as your sign-off results, your swan song results, I think in the most difficult circumstances that you would have likely seen in your career.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Thanks for the introduction. Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt. It does seem a real pity to be retiring in the middle of COVID and having to produce a set of results that do show a decline in normalized headline earnings of 22%. But as you saw in our presentation, I think when COVID hit the world, and particularly ourselves anyway, we were very, very concerned about liquidity. How would we survive closing up most of our businesses completely? Example would be our motor retailers, where we normally sell 5,000 cars a month. That in April month went to zero. So revenue went to zero and we had all the overhead. How does one survive that? So we have put a huge amount of focus on cash flow, cash preservation during this period of time. And we're very, very proud of the numbers that you just quoted. It really is, I think, the highlight. We've come through COVID exceptionally strong from a financial perspective. We mentioned in the report that we had actually gone to the banks and raised an extra $4.5 billion worth of facilities in case we needed them. We didn't have to touch that as a result of our good cash generation. So, yeah, I think overall the results, you know, as you said, 22% down. That's after COVID costs of about $1.6 billion. If you take the COVID costs out, then we're about 3% up. So the resilience of the Bidvest, as you said, is a bellwether stock. We've been around for a long time. We're very, very diversified, and we're very proud to, you know, with the overall income statement, balance sheet, and cash flow, to be quite honest.
And if you look at it, services, especially Noonan, the Irish business, held up well. Freight was resilient. Adcock was very solid. And the rest, as you've said, particularly motor, was a mess as predicted. But fortunately, the three bits that I've just mentioned are more than 70% of earnings for Bidvest. Just give us some insight into how operation you as a board and a management team decided to respond. When you could see that the lockdown was coming, there wasn't a lot of time for management to respond. What did you decide to do? What was the first course of action that you embarked upon?
You know, there were some very tough calls that we had to take. And one we do employ about 120,000 people around the world, of which about 95-odd or 100,000 are in South Africa. We had to make sure we looked after those people. At the same time, we did recognize the fact that if revenue is going to zero, we're going to have to furlough staff. That was one of the biggest decisions that we had to take very early on in the process. In the UK and Ireland, as you mentioned, with Noonan and PHS, which we've now acquired, the UIF TERS benefits that were granted to staff who were sent home because there was nothing to do was very, very generous. But we learned from that there was no way we could continue to pay all of our staff full salaries without getting some contribution from government on a TERS basis. So what we did is, one of the first things we did is we did furlough 75,000 people, which was a hell of a lot of people, but we made sure that we did apply for all of their UIF TERS benefits. And then what we created was a 400 million rand fund to top their salaries back up to fairly much normality. So a lot of our staff, as you know, Michael, are security guards, cleaning staff, landscaping staff, hygiene type people. And with the TERS benefit that we received and the Bidvest COVID fund that we created, the 400 million, we were able to ensure that we look after all of those staff. So that was probably the most important thing, was to, and from there onwards, we went into a right-sizing process of each and every one of our businesses. And if you look at the actual results presentation, you'll see that we managed to reduce costs, our expenses for the full year, 6% on a like-for-like basis. So cost-cutting became a very much top of mind, and liquidity were very much top of mind as COVID hit.
That's as COVID hit. So I was chatting to Alan Pillinger last week, and he certainly believes strongly that this isn't the new normal of everyone working at home, and we should start seeing a big return to the office environment, spending in those nodes that have seen significant investment in terms of commercial office space and other real estate and all of those associated and ancillary services. How do you see this playing out? How do you see the dust settling post-COVID as we do see the numbers starting to come down? Despite second waves in the UK, certainly here in South Africa, things are heading in the right direction.
We did see, even though there is a second wave in the UK, we did see people going back to work in the UK much quicker. I think the lockdown in South Africa, curfews, etc., have been very hard and very difficult. So we still have a lot of people working from home, but we are seeing a return. I think the biggest element of that is really in the big CBD hubs. The Sandton Hub and the Cape Town CBD Hub, where all the big financial institutions and, you know, the lawyers and those type of guys, they, for some reason, are still all very much working from home. But we're finding in the more trading and distribution type businesses, most of those people have all gone back to work. So it's a mixed bag, and I would really agree with your previous caller to say that I think, you know, come the new calendar year, I think everybody's going to be back at work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's certainly the sense, as we are creatures of habit. We do suffer from recency bias, so we always think that the last couple of months are going to be the new normal, forgetting all of that history that came before it. Now, looking at PHS, you mentioned that deal that you announced last December. That seems to be bedding down for you quite nicely. Hygiene services provider in the UK and Spain for 9.1 billion rand. Just give us a sense of how that transaction is integrating.
Unfortunately, Michael, as you know, we signed in December. We then had to wait for their competition authorities to give their final approval. That regulatory approval came through in May. And ever since then, we have been unable to travel to the UK. So we've been hugely involved with them using Zoom calls and all sorts of other calls. But we haven't had that full opportunity to fully integrate and to do what we'd like to do there. But however, it is the largest hygiene service provider in the UK, and hygiene has been escalated to such a tremendous extent, and additional requirements for sanitizing and everything else has really bolstered that business extensively over the COVID period, as it has benefited us in South Africa. So we're very comfortable with the acquisition. We can't wait to be able to hop on an aeroplane and go and talk to these guys and integrate with them. But suffice to say, with working from home, you know, it has been possible to integrate and to deal with them. Since we acquired them, we acquired it on the 1st of May, their results have met all of our expectations.
Looking at the balance sheet now, your net debt to EBITDA, not too bad at 2.1 times. Obviously, that should come down quite a lot this year, as PHS is included for a full year. But it looks like you've been shut out of offshore credit markets, as we see the spreads have widened. You mentioned the 4 billion rand raised from South African banks with a view to refinancing the 500 million pounds of mezz debt that was used to fund PHS. Why did you choose to go the local versus the offshore route in terms of that debt raise?
Well, our intention was always to go and do an offshore bond issue. When COVID hit, the rates did rocket up quite high, so we put that on the back burner. We were actually approached by we went to the local banks at the beginning of COVID, and as I think I told you earlier, we raised an additional 4.5 billion in facilities, which we haven't used. But over and above that, they came to us and said, would you guys not like to borrow another 4.5 billion odd to assist with the payment of the the bridge in the UK. So we simply took advantage of that. The markets are again starting to soften, and I'm sure we will be able to raise money internationally very comfortably very soon. The Jones Certificate did get downgraded. We kind of forget that, but before COVID, we were all in technical recessions. We then got downgraded and went to junk status. So the cost of raising money overseas did go up for a South African company. But we're comfortable that with the own cash generation, this money we've raised through the bid offered by the South African banks will go a long way to paying down that bridge. We've got another 15-odd months before we have to pay that bridge down, so it's a long time, and we're very comfortable with our debt levels.
Now, Mpumi Madisa, as I said right up front, is going to assume the chief executive role from the 1st of October. It's been a long process of introducing her to analysts and the market at large, and I think you cannot be faulted in terms of succession planning. As you hand over to her, it's also a good time to reflect on your tenure, I guess, Lindsay. What stands out for you as a highlight, and what words of advice do you have for her as she takes over the role in such a highly respected and highly scrutinized entity such as Bidvest?
Having been at Bidvest for 28 years, there have been lots of highlights, but one of the first roles that I took on was to head up a division called BidServe, which is now a services division. And I actually ran it myself for about 10 years, obviously reporting to Brian Joffe. And today, the fact that our services business is our largest business, it's the business that we're internationalizing, does make me very, very proud, because it was my, I sort of created the start of it. Funny enough, interesting enough, it started just with Steiner Hygiene. It was the only services business we had. And from there, we grew it. We now employ 100,000 or about 80,000 people in that division in South Africa and 20,000 overseas. So that probably is the biggest highlight, was really creating BidServe, which is now our services business. I think advice for Pumi, she's been with the Bidvest Group for a long time, 10, 12, 15 years. We've been coaching her for many years. We only announced her designate position 18 months ago, but she'd been working with me for a good 4 or 5 years before that at the head office. She's an exceptional quality individual. And I think the advice that we have given her is keep the ship going, keep the culture the same. You mentioned Roffey for Joffe. That is still, we still call it Roffey for Joffe. And cash flow, very, very careful monitoring of capital allocation has been a very strong point for us. And then, keeping the culture of the business the same. And it really is the same culture that Brian created for 20 years. And I think we've just carried it on. And I have no doubt in my mind that she will continue that same culture.
Absolutely. Well, for 31 years, it's been a consistent deliverer of trading profit outperformance, as you mentioned, from Brian's days through the various managers all over the business. Lindsay, it's been a great pleasure chatting to you over the years, as we get to every 6 and 12 months, as we talk about the company's results. And I wish you well. Just on one last point of business, what's next for you? A bit of gardening leave? Or do you have something in the pipeline?
Nothing special in the pipeline, Michael. I'm not a classic non-exec director. I'm not going to go and sit on a lot of boards. It just doesn't suit my style. But I'm sure I'll find things to do and business to invest in and continue to have a lot of fun in business. That's what I've been doing for the last 28 years, is really managing a variety of businesses. And I would like to think that there'll be lots of opportunities out there for me.
Chapeau, CEO Lindsay Ralph, signing off after a very successful tenure at Bidvest. Unfortunately, not in the easiest of circumstances, but doing exceptionally well considering the scale of this particular crisis.